This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell, man, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well.
Well, I am just loving to hear your voice, man.
Well, yeah, it's been a moment. It's been a few moments.
It has. Now, those who tuned in for our review last week of The Batman know that we had a little bit of audio issues as we were kind of trying something new. We were doing kind of a live stream while we were podcasting. It was something very different from what we'd done before. And as per usual, when doing something different from what we've done before, we had technical issues. And those technical issues definitely caused problems that made Bell sound like he's in a tin can. So hopefully he doesn't sound like that today. But I guess we just don't know until we get there.
Yeah, and I'm recording my stuff separately, but since we are in Minecraft, I'm not streaming right now, but you will hear my keyboard because it does click and it is loud, and I'm sorry if that's obnoxious. I know it probably is. But yeah, that's kind of where we're at.
We're working on it. We're trying something new. And you know what? If it doesn't work this week, we'll just go back to our standard form. But if you would like to join us, if this does actually work and we continue on this live kind of content like this, you can be sure to check out the TV Talk YouTube channel. We've got the link available at tvtalk.fm. All right, man, we have had a bit of a break, to say the least, from The Flash, but we are finally back, man, with a really, really fun episode to talk about. You ready for this?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, man, let's jump into The Rundown. Episode 6 of Season 8. Impulsive Excessive Disorder. Oh, because the kids. Yeah, I see what they did there. Directed by David McWhirter and story by
Thomas Pound.
Bell, what happened this episode?
Well, after their parents' vow renewals, Bart and Nora return to 2049 to find Jay Garrick alive and Joan Williams erased. There and Godspeed's overuse of the cosmic treadmill caused temporal shifts, so they travel back to the earliest one on December 31st, 2013, when Joe is to get shot during a jewelry heist. While posing as interns on a CSI coffee run for Eddie, they meet a girl named Avery who is studying quantum mechanics. Bart rescues Joe from being shot, but this only changes the timeline more. Metahuman Mona Taylor, who will become the queen of the Royal Flush Gang, eavesdrops on their conversation and plans a deadly heist. With help from Avery, Bart and Nora learn that they cannot stop the heist, but they can stop the casualties. Bart evacuates the building but is injured by Queen, though Nora is able to remove all the bombs in time. Bart shares a kiss with Avery and returns to 2049 with Nora, where Jay and Joan are both alive. In the present, after Team Flash leaves for a brunch, a comb disappears in a green light.
Dun, dun, dun. Doo-loo-loo-loo-loo. All right. So like I said, man, this was a really, really fun episode. And very much, you know, like and yet unlike any episode that we've had before. You know, oftentimes we've had episodes of The Flash with little to no The Flash in them. However, you know, they have historically not been some of our, or dare I say, the fan community at large's favorite episodes. This one, at least in my book, is very different. As you and I have discussed on multiple occasions, you know, if you're going to do an episode where Barry isn't there on a show called The Flash, well, you got more Flashes to choose from. Why not have a Wally-focused episode? Why not have a Nora-focused episode? Or not? Nora West Allen-focused episode. Why not have a Bart Allen-focused episode? And man, that is exactly what we get. What we got. I mean, you and I, we left, you know, last season and just kind of in general with kind of this desire of like, ooh, we like the kids. We like the kids. We want more of the kids. We're feeling the kids. And man, we got the kids.
We did. And it was nice. You know, I mean, it's maybe not rare per se to get what you asked for in a TV show, but I think we actually did. I think it was really nice to see Bart and Nora. Kind of we get to learn more about them, learn more about their personalities, their quirks and stuff like that. And it was a lot of fun to get to finally see that.
Yeah. And I mean, like, one of the things that I think has been really, really good is that this show has on occasion attempted to be more of a Flash family show. I mean, all right, well, let me back that up. I mean, technically speaking, this has been a very Flash family heavy show in the sense that, you know, we've gotten, you know, an exploration of, you know, Joe West as kind of a primary character. We've actually had kind of the intertwining of the West and Allen families with Barry actually being raised, in their household. So it's a very family centric show, and it's really tied the Flash family together closer. I'm thinking also, especially of kind of Wally being more of a brother instead of a nephew. That said, they've never really been able to pass the torch. You know, we've never really fully seen a legacy of the Flash established on this series. And I think that has kind of hurt the series as a whole. Even when they had Wally, you know, Wally showed up, we were all excited for Wally, but then Wally didn't really stick around. In fact, we never really got to see a relationship form between Wally and Barry that really communicated like a mentor, mentee, kind of a legacy building. You know, yes, he had the power. And so Barry was, you know, happy to share the mantle, but he wasn't necessarily training Wally or, you know, you never got the sense that once, you know, if Barry kicked it, which, you know, has either happened or been threatened to happen several times on the show, it was never kind of this thought of like, oh, well, you know, this is Wally's time. You know, we're prepared because we're ready, you know, because Wally's ready to take up the mantle. Nora West Allen, when she was introduced in the show, for me, she really represented the promise of establishing a Flash legacy and something that I think many of us have really wanted to see for some time. You know, we've long speculated that we would get Bart in the show. I don't think anybody was all that surprised that at some point we would be getting him. That being said, when he finally showed up, or when Nora showed up, but, you know, there was kind of a question of, well, will we ever see Bart? It does seem like he's been actually erased from the timeline. Of course, in subsequent seasons, he's been introduced. And yeah, we got a very impulsive kid here, which is perfect for playing Impulse. And man, I'm so stoked. We're seeing that legacy established, and we're seeing an exploration of kind of the next generation for The Flash in a way that really felt like not just a fun episode of The Flash, but almost, some people are calling it a backdoor pilot for either a brand new series or what I'm going to argue is potentially a future season of The Flash. Much in the same way of other shows have done, like if you think about like when Scrubs, you know, tried to do like their the student years or whatever the last season of Scrubs was and that sort of thing, just to kind of like, you know, just grip that one last season out, squeeze that one last season out of that show. I'm kind of wondering if that's what we're getting set up for, is a final season of The Flash that actually focuses more on the kids, not this season, mind you, but next season, and kind of explores what that might look like as a future show, since it didn't really work for Arrow. But anyway, what are your thoughts on that, man?
Yeah, you know, I mean, like I've really liked what I've seen here, and I know to get sort of meta with it, you know, we have contracts and stuff like that in Hollywood and all those kinds of things that we have to deal with. And, you know, Grant did sign on for one more season, which, you know, that's why we have this season here, obviously. But we don't know what's in the future for that. Like, he might be like, you know what, I'm done.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, and I very well could be, but I think he actually signed on for season 9.
So. If it's been picked up for another season, I would assume he'd be a part of it. Unless, like you're saying, this is an opportunity for him to be like, you know what, we're gonna do a legit pass the torch, and you know, here we go. It's Flash family. You know, we're gonna have Jay if he wants to come back, and we're gonna have you know, Nora and Bart. And maybe Grant will be more like a cameo kind of thing.
Well, and, you know, or maybe not even a cameo. What if he was more of a mentor role? What if we actually really established, you know, him kind of being, you know, I know this is, it's a loaded comparison, but almost kind of like a Last Jedi Luke Skywalker, right? Like what if we actually saw him kind of becoming that Obi-Wan Kenobi for the next generation? Especially with it being his kids. I mean, I know we explored that to some extent with the earlier version of Nora, who has since been erased from the timeline. And I know that we will likely probably get some of that this season. But I don't know. I feel like there's a way to tell that story from Barry's perspective. And it's an entirely different way to tell that story from the kids' perspective. And I, for one, think it could work.
It would certainly be different. And even though I just said it earlier, change is good.
You said you were frightened by change, Bell.
Well, yeah, even though I said the opposite earlier, change is good. And so, yeah, you know, it might be nice to kind of see some different stuff coming out of the show. You know, this when you get to the point where, like, your superhero is, you know, increasingly more powerful every season, and it gets harder and harder to sort of, like, make enemies come up to and compare. And, like, you know, you always ask that question, well, like, couldn't he just flash time and fix everything immediately?
Right.
And, you know, you have those problems. And so with a more inexperienced team, you can solve those really tough, you know, writing problems of, like, we have a god on our hands. What are we going to do about it? Which I think would be really neat. And so it opens up more story elements, and, like, not everything has to be, like, super high stakes, right? You can lower the stakes a little bit more because you have a more novice character, which, you know, that could work. It would be more entertaining, and you'd be less scratching your head going, well, why doesn't he just, you know, speed fix everything immediately?
Right.
Like, you get rid of those kind of problems. So,
well, and, you know, it's interesting, right? Because we see even in this episode, you know, a villain group that's not necessarily, you know, a world ending multiversal situation, right? Like, the Royal Straight Game, as we know them to be here, also known as the Royal Flush Gang, that doesn't know how cards work.
Well, I mean, you know, King isn't all that smart, it doesn't seem, so.
Yeah, no, maybe. But even still, like, you do a whole motif, and I know we've already talked about this, but I thought for sure when they introduced them here, like, their origin story, essentially, I thought for sure they'd address it. At the very least, they'd address it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know.
They did not. That just didn't.
They did. But I have to say, I'm really, really, really enjoying the Royal Flush Gang, what we've seen of them in the last couple times that we've seen them on. Like, they've been a super fun sort of group of villains for Flash to fight. And he's gotten some super interesting ways to, like, take care of them. You know, the Flash time sequence, the last time that he fought him, was super cool. And I'm kind of excited to see more of that sort of stuff come up. Like, we haven't gotten the full Rogues sort of, you know, experience where a bunch of his enemies team up together, but we're kind of getting something similar to that with this gang, and I appreciate it.
You know, the reality is that kind of, you know, what if the Rogues teamed up storyline, I feel like we as a viewing audience got it, but we didn't as a Flash audience get it, because y'all got that on Legends. Like, there was an entire season of Legends that essentially did that with the Legion. Or did they call themselves the Legion of Doom?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that, you know, it was very cool. It was very cool in concept. But I felt cheated when that happened. I mean, like, more often than not, man, a lot of things happens on Legends that I kind of feel cheated on. And that's certainly one of them. But I got to say, at the same time, sometimes Legends sets up some things that we end up getting on the Flash. For example, Bell, this was an episode that was chock full of a lot of different Easter eggs. And one of them, probably the one that just kind of was very glaring that they kind of hit you in the face with, is Booster Gold.
So he's on Legends now.
Yeah. So, and portrayed, you know, it's great that I got the chance to make a Scrubs reference, all things considered, because he was...
Right? Yeah.
He's played by Turk, which I really want Turk to see. Oh, man, what's JD's brother on Scrubs that was played by Tom Cavanagh?
Oh, I don't remember.
I can't remember either, but those two need to connect because they're both from the future.
That would be hilarious. That would be absolutely hilarious. I would love for them to do that.
They got to bring him back for that one reason. They're just, and then, you know what? They need to get Dorian or the Zach Braff. They got to get Zach Braff in to play somebody, maybe the president of the future or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Cox can show up. Oh, I mean, it'd be great. We need a full on like Flash Scrubs, you know, merger of some sort. Booster Gold, man. Do you think that was just a kind of a tease tie-in to some other things that are going on in other series, or do you think that we're actually going to be seeing Booster Gold pop up here on the show?
Well, you know, I mean, it seems like the twins are dealing with a lot of time travel mishaps and misfortunes and things, so it would be interesting to see him. Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, I haven't watched the season of Legends where he's been introduced. So I don't know if he's going to be like a recurring character or what his role is on that show. So I don't know for sure. Like, it would be interesting to see if he's going to pop into the Flash more. But as of right now, my guess is that he's probably going to be more Legends focused.
Okay. Well, you know, we're dealing with a very time travel heavy episode, or rather potentially a very time travel heavy season. And we'll kind of get into that with some of these other characters here. Now, speaking of kind of a lot of time travel, a lot of time travel knowledge, man, we are introduced to Avery Ho. Now, this is a character from the comics. She actually was one of the characters that was struck by lightning during a Speed Force storm in Central City. She actually became the Flash. After she was able to kind of harness and gain control of her powers when Barry Allen went missing for a time. And so she was also later on recruited to be part of a multidimensional team called Justice League Incarnate. So I'm not familiar with her comics run. However, really, really cool character. And I'm curious if, you know, we might be able to see her gaining some powers here. Because the other factor, too, is that the name of the labs that she was working on, Fast Track, was also a reference to another character in the comics who also got struck by lightning in that very same storm, which was Mina Dawn, if I'm reading that last name correctly. And yeah, she was a scientist at Star Labs. She was also struck by lightning, and she became the hero Fast Track. So yeah,
okay.
A lot of, you know, as I was kind of reading up on some of these characters and kind of learning their backstory, it did make me think about that... that one season finale where like the Speed Force opened up and lightning was going everywhere. And you're kind of like, oh, that would have been cool. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But, yeah, but yeah, didn't happen.
No. Yeah. But it didn't happen. But it
instead we got children. We got,
well,
weird we, children.
We don't talk about those children.
Yeah. We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about those kids. No. We only the real kids here. Yeah. So anyway, cool introduction here. Avery Ho, cool character. Obviously, very deep into kind of time travel knowledge. We've got kind of an establishment of a bit of a relationship going on. Were you at all creeped out by the fact that she is Bart's mom's age?
Man, time travel. Like, you gotta give some. Allowance there, right? Because yes, he's time traveling, but like, he's still her age in 2049. Like, he can't go back and look her up and be like, hey, remember me? That's just not gonna work.
But I mean, like, but she's there though, right? Like, I mean, like, technically she's there in 2049.
Yeah, it's best if just like the whole kid thing with the forces. Let's just...
No. This is not the same thing. I would say this is actually much more of a Marty McFly situation. A less creepy Marty McFly situation. Still creepy.
The difference is that Marty...
Creepy.
Yeah, but Marty was, like, not into his mom because he knew, you know, A, that she was his mom, and B, that...
No, but his mom was into him. This is always such a weird conversation. I mean,
it's because he got hit by the car instead of his dad. It just messed everything up.
I have seen the movie.
I know, but, like, you know, I'm just explaining the parallels, because in this movie... or in this show, rather, Joe didn't get hit by the bullet. So instead of, you know, Avery falling in love with someone else, she fell in love with our boy, with Bart.
Well, it just adds to the creepy romance that the show has always kind of had at its core. I mean, like, you know, the brother and sister nature of their parents getting married. Like, you know, it's just all things considered, him going for somebody his mom's age, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I also think that we I'm hoping though that we see her as a reoccurring character, especially as Bart's going to be appearing more this season alongside Nora. And I really liked their sibling dynamic as well. You kind of got a sense where they know each other really well. They've got a great chemistry, which
they
is
have
awesome.
Wonderful chemistry. Yeah,
yeah. Like we've talked about this last season, I believe, but like Bart showing up,
he's knocking it out of the park.
Jordan Fish, dude, this dude came in and crushed it, man. Like we've talked about before, a lot of these shows, like you get these new characters, they kind of show up and you're kind of like, okay, hi. Yeah. Hello. How are you? Yes. We know you're here now. And they just don't really fit. But this dude like instantly was fantastic. I mean, like I think the big thing that sells it more than anything else is just the chemistry that he has with Nora, who's an established character. And she came in and crushed it. And we instantly, well, you know, I know some people didn't like her. I was a huge fan of her as a character and really loved what they were doing with her. But we now, you know, she's an established character on the show. And so when she shows up and they start relating instantly as brother and sister, it fits so well. And I just think that, yeah, I'm digging it. I'm so excited, man. I feel like so many times on this podcast, we've said like, oh, it'd be great if they did such and such. And then it never really happens. It's like the first time I feel like, are they listening? Could it be?
Right?
Are those CW executives actually in the chat?
I mean, they could be. They could be.
I mean, they're definitely not, but they could be. But they could be, and that's what matters.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got Avery introduced. We got kind of the love interest with her and Bart potentially down the line. We've got kind of a nod to Mina and Fast Track. It's possible that we might actually get introduced to her later on as probably like the founder of this particular organization or something of that nature. All right, so we also got the origins of Cecile and Joe, which dated back to before the pilot.
Which is interesting. Didn't realize that. Of course, you know, they never really bothered to tell us because I guess why would they? Maybe.
Well, they didn't know. this is called a retcon, Bell.
Yeah. What do you mean this didn't actually happen when it was supposed to happen?
That's
insane.
No.
Insane.
They hadn't conceived the character yet. So what do you think about this though? Is this a necessary retcon? This one you like? What do you think?
Well, you know, I mean, it's. We've been saying it for a while, like Papa Joe hadn't had a lot to do, and this gives us kind of an opportunity for him to have something to do and for us to watch him do something that's enjoyable, you know, that's fun. I think it's a good choice. It allows us to see Joe kind of progress. We get to see him in this like not really progress. We get to see, because right now he's like Papa Joe, right? He's Papa Joe. But now we get to see him be vulnerable and stuff like that around Cecile, and we get to see him sort of like anti-develop. We get to see where he came from,
I think is the word.
But we get to see that, and I think that's neat. I think that's a cool kind of idea to go around, and it gives Joe something to do while he's there, right? And so I'm super excited about that. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it was we've seen in especially time travel or alternate reality stories situations where, you know, they kind of force in characters and kind of force in side stories and that sort of thing. I'm thinking specifically of the one they did with kind of the alternate version of Chester and Allegra. Yeah. All right, so the alternate version of Chester and Allegra, where they kind of had a thing, but then they didn't have a thing. And then on top of that, they also had an alternate version of Ryan Choi, like discovering like, oh, you know what? I need to open up my heart too. And we're like, who even are you?
Yeah.
Also, you're getting erased by the end of this episode. Literally erased. So it's like, what was this?
Yeah. And that's kind of a concern of mine, right? Is that we have any development that we see or any cool stuff that happens with Joe just get erased by the end of this. So
Well, no, that's not true though, because this is actual like this is established like canonical timeline stuff now. So nothing actually got erased here.
But they're changing the timeline.
They are, but that part didn't actually get changed. They didn't anything that they did and didn't well, okay, so what they did initially impacted Joe, but then it didn't impact Joe because they undid it. But other things were impacted, but not that.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Yes. So this everything that we saw counted and mattered. They didn't change. Like, well, I'll put it this way. Literally anything they changed, we saw occur. But I think that we're going to be seeing a lot more of that. I think we're going to see specifically XS and Bart here, you know, kind of mixing it up a little bit with some potential major impacts on the timeline for a lot of their different characters. Yes, we saw kind of a new origin, or now the kind of new official origin of the Royal Straight Gang. And so that's there. We also saw that they're, you know, they ended up doing something that erased Joan, but introduced Rose. They never had a chance to meet Rose. You don't know. Maybe Rose is better than Joan. Maybe Rose works at a candy shop and is gonna you know, provide free candy every single day.
I thought that was extremely rude of them to not even bother with meeting their new aunt to see if she's any better than the old one, you know?
I'm saying that is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
That's just not cool, in my opinion.
Yeah. Speaking of which, okay, so John Wesley Shipp, the OG Flash, red and yellow, okay?
Yeah.
Our boy. Let's just be honest. This dude is in, like, top condition, okay?
Dude.
Right?
Like,
so this dude is in top condition, right?
I mean, you got to be if you're going to be the Flash.
He's 67 years old.
Is he really?
He's 67 years old. And, I mean, like, you know, he could probably, like, crush an apple with his teeth. Well, I guess we can all do that. But you know, he can
chew apples. Yeah, like that. That's
crush an apple with his hands. That's what I was trying to say.
Rip an apple in half with his hands, perhaps.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Point is, this dude right here is doing good. Now I did the math.
All that is man.
I did the math.
Okay.
And while I want to just acknowledge that. He's a beast, okay? John Wesley Shipp is a beast. This is known, and that's you know what? Part of me just wants to leave it right there, but I feel like I need to at least acknowledge that according to this episode, that's what John Wesley Shipp looks like at 87.
And, well, look, it is the future. Perhaps they have, you know, future meds.
Uh-huh.
To make people not be old anymore.
I think this is where we insert the Speed Force meme.
It's Speed Force. I ain't got to explain. Beep.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So yeah, just wanted. I felt like it needed to be acknowledged because I was sitting back afterwards. I was like, wait a minute. Hang on now. Like, I question John Wesley Shipp's ability to take care of himself or anything like that. Or, you know, again, he could destroy me in a fight. There's no question about it. But I just don't know that he's going to be like that at 87. I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, it's 87.
Like, was this a choice? I guess this is my question, man. Is it because, like, it's the CW and everybody's got to look attractive and pretty all the time, which is perfectly fine if that's the case? Or is the notion that the Speed Force actually, like, slows your aging at some point? Like, are we seeing the establishment of new canonical Speed Force abilities? Or is this more of like a, I mean, hey, it's a CW show. Just go with it.
I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt and say that, yes, the Speed Force is what's making him appear so spry and youthful.
Okay.
You know, it's the only thing that makes sense because, like, well, and yeah, you know, it makes even more sense now because they got his speed back, right, when they fought Godspeed.
Right.
And so, yes. You know, before then, if we had seen him, he was dead at that point, right, in Bart's timeline. And so I think had we seen him, his appearance might have been different just because he didn't have his speed to help him, you know, not age. At least that's the headcanon I'm rolling with.
Okay. I'll allow it. Man, before we can talk about what's going on with Iris, we gotta talk about this one little nod here, because like I said, there was just chock full of Easter eggs throughout this episode, and we actually got a reference to the fact that Jay fought in World War II. Speaking of his eternal youth,
yeah. Well, I mean that was through, you know, time travel shenanigans. So
well, exactly. Yeah. Yes, this is exactly right. Well, actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, maybe this was through time travel shenanigans too. Like maybe Jay just comes to the future to like check on the kids from time to time.
That would make sense. You know, maybe he's like, you know, maybe chronologically he's 87, but he's actually like in his 60s because he travels through time a lot.
Interesting. It could be. It's such a departure from when he first showed up to like, you know, lecture Barry on, you know, what are you doing? You can't change the timeline. Like, let me break this cup right here for you.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the 90s so I can talk some sense into you.
Right.
And then, and now he's like, oh, you kids, me and your dad break the timeline all the time.
Yeah. It's like, it's NBD. It's no big deal. Like, come on. Right. Just here, look, I'll break it right now. I'll break the timeline right now. Watch me. I'm going to break the timeline.
It's like, you think we'd even have a universe right now if we didn't break the time? Like, we break the timeline all the time. It's fine. It's fine. It's fun. Plus, I was almost dead.
I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for time travel.
it's a funny departure, but I think it fits. I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
All right. So, yes. Speaking of time shenanigans, Iris has time sickness. Belle.
Does she still like, are we, they didn't mention it at all.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it is a safe bet that what happened with the comb that disappeared is implied to be as connected to her time sickness.
Yeah. Yeah. That seems pretty clear.
So my question then is, okay. So, where are we going with this? I guess that's my main question in your mind. Like, where do you see us going with Iris's time sickness? This is pseudo speedster speculation, maybe a little early speedster speculation, as I think we need a little bit more data, but it was left on a little bit of a cliffhanger. She touched the comb disappeared. You know, it's using a similar particle effect as the still force. And we know that she was kind of, using or getting kind of cured or something with the still force to kind of help her with what's going on.
Yeah.
So yeah. What you thinking?
Well, I mean, that was kind of my question. Like the whole time when Bart and Nora were like messing with stuff, it's like, where's Dion? Why isn't Dion here going like, what are you doing?
We don't talk about Dion. No.
But we have to though. Like he's going to be pivotal in this season, right? Like who else is going to cure her time sickness?
Talk about Dion. No.
Because I mean, like, what else are they going to do to write him out? Essentially, are they just going to be like, oh yeah, no, Dion's he's sick. So
I know exactly what they're going to put a big metal mask on him, and he's going to come in and say, like, with some sort of weird voice that we've never heard before, and say, hi guys, thanks so much for all these fun adventures. I'm going off now and you'll never hear from me again. Sorry. Not saying that Dion needs to be canceled here. I'm just saying that, like, you know, we don't talk about Dion.
They don't talk about him as their kid anymore. So like that's good,
helpful.
At least.
That's helpful. But I guess my mindset is like, we could easily be like, I thought you were getting your treatments from Dion. And she's like, oh, yeah, no, they stopped working. And also, we're now cut off from the other forces for
we have
for
to whatever. We have to solve this ourselves.
Right. Exactly. And then we don't talk about Dion or any of the forces.
But they're so much fun, Bo. You didn't like the forces?
Come on, man. We're not doing that. yeah. So I'm thinking that given the fact that we saw specifically her powers are, I'm just going to guess it's doing one of two things. It's either erasing something out of time with that little kind of green glowy thing, or it's sending it to another part of time, which is possible. It could be locking it in one place in time, which would fit with kind of what we've seen from Timeless Wells and that sort of thing. Or we don't really have the full, like, we're only seeing a little bit of what's actually going on. These are my currents. I think that's the gambit of everything that I can think of that's potentially happening here.
I don't think we have a full picture.
Yeah.
I think we're going to, through some kind of reveal or whatnot, they're going to be like, oh, something's weird. Something's going on. And we're not going to know what that is for a minute, you know, given how Flash paces itself. So I think, yeah, we're not going to really know exactly what's going on for a while. Maybe not a while, but like, you know, several episodes until we kind of figure out, oh, okay, this is what's going on. There's this sort of thing and we need to do this to take care of it and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I think for the most part, we're going to be kept in the woods or kept in the dark. I guess kept in the dark in the woods. That works. Until someone figures out what's going on. Be that Barry, be that Dion or whatever.
But
we don't talk about Dion, so.
No, we don't talk about Dion. No, I'm thinking that you know, originally my thought was that her time sickness was going to be very specifically related to like that it was going to be the thing, like, oh, we got to stop the time sickness. But now I'm starting to wonder if her time sickness is actually going to be more connected to kind of a function. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we need to do a thing, but it has to be eradicated from time. And it's like, oh, Iris has got that time sickness. And then she does a thing and then it happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, this is more of a speculation, but, I'm wondering if, you know, we saw Eddie, which we didn't talk about yet. We saw Eddie, right?
Well, we're about to talk about, we will talk about Eddie.
I mean, honestly, the bit I have to say is very speech or speculation.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, you want to jump into it?
Let's do it.
Okay. We'll be, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break and then we'll be right back and jump into some speedster speculation.
Yeah. You know who it is.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp and you're listening to Flash TV Talk.
Red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow. Hold on.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Speedster Speculation.
All right, man. So you don't feel comfortable even talking about the time sickness, the still force sickness stuff without talking about Eddie. And we got to get into this speculation, man. We know as of right now that Eddie is likely, I'll just go ahead and say, likely to come back this season for potentially one or maybe a few more episodes. So here's my question, Bell. Are we seeing the return of Eddie Thawne in like a legit capacity, not just as a, you know, the kids go back in time from time to time, but are we actually seeing like, you know, Bart, like low key tell him like, hey man, you know, you could just, you know, you could get a vasectomy. Like,
yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, like I'm thinking that like the bit I was talking about where I didn't want to say anything, is, you know, is very speculative, is that like Iris's time sickness has something to do with Eddie and the timeline and whatnot. And like, so, since she is, you know, quintessential to Barry and his lightning rod and whatnot, and maybe it has something to do with that. And so she's actually like, just Eddie's presence is messing with her presence in the timeline. And that's going to impact Flash, and there's going to be some bad news bears because of it.
So is your assumption then that as is, like currently unimpacted, that Eddie is actually actively already in the current timeline?
Yeah, I think Eddie's in the timeline.
What? No. What?
I think because the changes that they're making are screwing stuff up, and so he's going to be there for whatever reason. Like, this isn't the last time we're going to see him, and there's going to be another episode where they have to go back in time and fix something or something like that. And I think it's going to end up with Eddie just being a dude now. He's a guy who's around and he's in the show, and it's going to be weird. There's going to be an episode where they have to like fix the relationship so that, you know, Barry and Iris get together, and either that's going to cause him to like, you know, become a bad or something like that, or something of that nature. Because like, I, you know, and granted, I haven't looked at any like contract key kind of things and stuff like that, so I don't know
I don't think he's coming back as like a regular for next season or anything like that. I think this is more of like I think this is going to do one of two things. I think we're looking at a situation where, you know, you've got Eddie being this kind of like, I think what we're going to end up seeing with this is more than likely I'm just going to go ahead and say it. The return of Eobard Thawne. I think that what we're seeing through this, I know. I say it every season. Okay.
Yeah.
Just fill out your bingo card. I did it. But like, I really do. I think that what we're seeing with this is the situation where we've got Eobard, a now depowered Eobard, but an Eobard who's connected to the timeline and needs to be reconnected to the timeline. Like, I think that we're going to see essentially Eddie getting restored in some form or fashion for the sole purpose of reintroducing Eobard back into the timeline, and also setting up a situation where if they wanted to, which I have a feeling they do, they could end the series, be it at season 9 or 10, with a handoff to season 1.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying? Like, we need a situation, like, they may, I don't know if we do or not, but I think that there is a strong desire out there that the series ends where it began.
That would be interesting.
I think so. I do think it would be interesting. And so that's my theory, is that what we're seeing with Eddie is that we're laying the groundwork. And yes, I do agree that Iris's time sickness is probably related to what's going to end up healing him or keeping him. And it may be just that. It may be that the kids are able to bring him back, and then she's able to, with her time sickness, which honestly I think is more connected to the ability to keep something stuck in time, like in a moment in time, but she doesn't necessarily know how it works or how to use it or anything like that. So my theory is that she's able to use it in that capacity.
Okay.
At the end of the season. So that's my long bet for where we're going with that. But we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening.
Yeah, it could be interesting.
All right, man. Final thoughts on this episode. Anything you want to make sure we cover?
I think we just about caught it all. Really enjoyed it. Like, I will say it was, my brain like was fried at the very beginning of it because, you know, Armageddon happened and I was so used to Armageddon stuff. Armageddon.
Sorry.
Yeah. You know, Armageddon. And like, it was crazy because, you know, we start off and it's the Valor renewal. And I was like, wait, hold on. Weren't we just fighting a big, you know?
Oh, right. Dude? Oh, yeah. 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 But the kids weren't.
Yeah, the kids weren't. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. All that makes sense now, I think. And so yeah, for a second there, I had to, like, you know, adjust my brain and re-remember things. But yeah, it was fun. I really enjoyed it. Like Bart does, he's so good at that. And Nora's always been good. And so it's just so much fun to see them have so much fun playing these roles. And so, yeah. I hope we get a lot more of them.
I agree, man. I think, I'm really excited for kind of the fact that we're getting back into, you know, we're getting back into time travel. We're getting back into speedsters. I know that there was kind of like this feel early on in the series where it's like, another speedster, more time travel. I was never like against time travel. I'm always for like the more time travel, the better. I think that's great. And I have no problem with them, you know, especially here in the latter seasons, like leaning in heavy to introducing more speedsters, more flashes, establishing that concept of legacy. I think that's all very important for how they decide to finish well. And I think that's what they really want to do. I think they really want to finish this series well. We've got a whole nother season to play with too after this one, which is potentially exciting. If this is a promise of what's to come, then I'm looking forward to it, man. I think we got a good one.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, man, we have got a good season ahead of us for sure. And we want to hear from you, dear listeners. Let us know, what are you thinking? What did you think of this episode? What do you think about where they're going with this series and the season as a whole? Are you excited for what's been promised and teased out? Or is it not particularly your cup of tea? You can tweet us at TV Talk FM is the place to do it. Again, that's at TV Talk FM. Also, we've got some great other TV talking coming out your way very, very soon. We got this Moon Knight series that we're, I don't know about you, Bell. I'm pretty hyped for it.
I am excited about Moon Knight for sure. I love Oscar Isaac.
Yes.
And I cannot wait. And I don't think it's going to happen, but I just have been wanting that that scene in the comic where where Moon Knight is like hunting Dracula and he's like, "Hey Dracula, where's my money?" He's like asking him for money or something like that. I just want to see that live action because I think that'd be awesome.
That's cool. That'd be very cool. All right, so we'll be looking forward to that as well. All right, that is going to do it for this week. But don't worry, we'll be back in a flash.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.